Hi everyone, I'm Ksenia.
And I'm Anna.
And you are listening to CareerZilla, a podcast where people from all over the world share their stories about career change.
If you always dreamed of having a new job or a new career but was not quite sure where to start, this podcast is for you. Stay tuned to learn secret hacks and tricks about career transformations from our guests.
Every second and fourth Thursday of the month, our guests share with you their insights on how to kick off a new career.
And now let's start. So I would like to introduce our today's guest. It's Ani Kofeyesh, a scientist and co-founder of the Brainstorms, a platform connecting academic scientists, tech makers, businesses, and investors working on innovative neurotech projects.
Last year, the company has organized the Brainstorms Festival with over 500 participants and 30 speakers, featuring topics on business, science, and cutting-edge human-oriented technology.
And I will jump immediately to my first question. Aniko, can you tell us a little bit more about the Brainstorms? What is your focus? What are you doing? How it was created?
Yes, sure. Thank you, Anna. First, I would like to say thank you for the invitation. I think it's a great opportunity to work with you and be part of this project. Well, the Brainstorms as a project started about 2 years ago. Two of my co-founders started it at very first, Sabria Lagoon and Sabol Jbiro, who were doing their PhDs on the neuroscience field. I was also doing my PhD in a neighboring building, but a bit more far away from brain research. The idea came from the fact that in academia, it's very hard to communicate your research. Sometimes people are working on so specific things that it's even hard to explain to the person who is sitting next to you in the lab and doing work on the bench. They started actually with the idea that it would be great if we had a platform to talk about this and talk about it in an understandable way. The two of them started with meetups. I was not that involved at the very beginning. I was aware that the project was going on and I was also supporting the events, but I also had other priorities at the time. The meetups were actually quite successful. Already at the first event, there were more than 100 people. We teamed up and we started doing the three of us. And people really liked it, I had to say. There was always a presenter from academia or industry, and we also had a startup spotlight. Try to always discuss a certain topic from multiple angles and more of the out-of-the-box angle. Just to, let's say, an example from last year, we had an event on language. Our first speaker was a scientist, a neuroscientist who was working on an application for how to help people relearn how to speak who lost their speaking ability through a stroke, for example. Our second speaker was talking about natural language processing. And in the startup spotlight, there was a startup that people working on to help dyslexic children to read better and to improve this ability, basically. So we always try to have a bit of an out-of-the-box angle for an even seemingly general topic.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting, but that also sounds very challenging because neither you nor two other co-founders had any business background or business experience. How actually did you compensate for this lack of experience at the very beginning? What was the most challenging when you just started?
This is an interesting question because I wouldn't say compensate, but it's like we were growing with the project. It started with the small meetups, then we realized we can do more and we can organize even a bigger festival to really create this also this personal platform where all the stakeholders of the neurotech field can meet. Not just only the people who are interested or working on a certain field. So, as I said, all of us are scientists, all the three co-founders, and we also couldn't have done this without great additional team members because we gathered core volunteers who were working with us to make this festival happen last year. We were about 10, 15 people at the time. And on spot of the festival, we were actually 40 people, 40 volunteers who actually made this happen. We also worked with these professionals. For example, we had a marketing professional on our team who was also helping us out, and we were learning also from each other. We had the vision, we know what we wanted to reach, and as a team, we made it work. And right now, I do think that as the project is growing, we were growing with it.
And what was the key criteria for you to accept new team members?
When you are working at a small startup or you co-own or co-own a small startup, the tasks are overlapping what you are doing. So next to my vision and some part of marketing and business development and task, what I was doing, I was also the HR person. So we put up a call on social media platforms, and then there were CVs coming in. So I interviewed the people, the first rounds went through me, and what was very important for me and what is very important for us to find a good match who can also gain something out of this out of the participation in this project. I think this is very important because some people come to learn, some people come for the network. It's very diverse, but it has to be a win-win, and that's how it works.
So you don't have a lack of applicants to join your team?
Luckily not. Rather like we have too many ideas and too many projects in our minds, and we have to prioritize what is worthwhile diving deeper into.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of diving deeper into something, what do you think would be the next steps for the brainstorms? How you can grow, develop? What is your future?
Our future, I really hope that it's going to be bright. We were working mainly on the meetups, the festival, and we are also creating our own content in form of articles and infographics. And in this regard, we are introducing new projects with video materials. So this is what is definitely coming up very soon. We also managed to go digital during the coronavirus times. So I think this was also lately an improvement. What we did, we actually want to keep up with the digital events until we can create events in person. And we also have other innovation track projects in mind and also in the pipeline. And of course, after the success of last year's festival, we are also planning to do one next.
I actually want to have a follow-up question about the digital brainstorms. On your experience, do you think that you digitally perform better? Would you think it might be reasonable to stay digital and to cover a larger audience, maybe in other countries or cities, not only in Vienna?
This is a very good question because I think the two things are not necessarily comparable. Sometimes we were even above 100 people at the meetups, but let's say average 80 people. Compared to this number, the digital events, there was an occasion where we were around 80 people, but the average is rather 50, but the audience is more scattered. I think a lot of people were also coming for the events, for the networking part, but it's, I think, hard to implement when you are digital. The way of interaction is limited to a certain level. So I think the two forms of interactions don't exclude each other, but they are also not directly comparable.
But do you want really to continue with the brainstorm digital also after the crisis is over, or it was for you just a temporary measure? How do you see overall the strategy of the brainstorms after corona crisis?
Our original idea was not to go digital. I'm talking right now apart from corona. So not to go digital, but rather spread the monthly events also to different cities. So the idea was to license out to people who are interested that we have a certain qualities, what is a brainstorms event has to measure up to. Other people in other cities can also their own events. So this was our basic idea because the network is also why the people are coming. So I do think this would be actually the ultimate thing to keep, but I don't exclude further digital events for later neither.
Okay, so now we will finish with the corona and get back to the basics. So how did you start with the brainstorms? How do you distribute your roles and responsibilities with the co-founders? Do you have your own, each of you have your own niche?
This was also forming on the way as we were expanding. Sabria is doing most of the sales and some of the business development part. She's very good at it. She's also a very good public speaker. When there is an occasion that we can present ourselves, she's the one who normally goes. It's also because she's also a neuroscientist herself, so she can go deeper into also technical topics. Sabi is very good at content creation and writing, and we have also a small content creator team who is working with him, basically, and he's working as an editor and in this group. This is his strength. And what I'm doing, I'm organizing the people, focusing more on project management, and doing more regarding marketing and business development. So right now we are actually 17 people, our team, and we have a group of content creators, marketing people, business development people, and some people working on sales.
What was the biggest challenges for you when you just started the brainstorms? Because before you worked in academia, it's a totally different world with a very different mindset. How did you adapt to this new environment? And what was the most important in this adaptation?
I think one of the most important thing was to keep it open and agile. As you say, academia is very different, but during doing your PhD, you learn certain skills that are transferable for other fields, and you can use them also in the business world. I believe that this is okay, never give up, okay, relearn, redo, pivot. is a very good attitude, because if you have a startup, you are always dancing on the edge.
And if someone from academia today comes to you and tell, look, I also want to found my startup, whether in science communication, whether it is some other field, what would be two advices that you would give to this person?
My main advice would be to choose your co-founders wisely. I do think that it's, after all about the people, because one cannot do that much alone, as much you can do in a team. You have to choose your team members wisely. It's important for the team members to have a good understanding, have a good vision for the goal, and also to have complementary skills. I do think that so far that's why it was working for us, because all three of us are very good at different things, and we managed to bring these things together, so we are stronger together.
On your startup journey, did you take any courses, subscribe to some of the channels, blogs to gain necessary skills?
Yes, definitely. I try to read a lot, keep my mind open, and also to see where we can go. I think a lot about strategy and the vision and what we could reach with what we have and what we have opportunity for. I also like reading certain books on the topic.
So maybe you can name for us a couple of books that you found helpful?
Yeah, let's say the last one, what I read, what I would also recommend for people actually who would start with such a project. Actually, this is interesting because it's a Hungarian author, and I barely read in Hungarian nowadays, I have to say, but it's from a Hungarian author, Turchan Tamás. Name of the book is Start a Book at Me. This is basically talking about the basics of the startup world, how the whole thing builds up, talks about the different players on the field and how you can make it work better. Anyway, it's a journey. You said that too. I totally agree to that. It's a journey, and it's going to be a journey, but you can be more prepared for certain things with experience and if you educate yourself.
And also, your business is basically centered around the concept of science communication. And of course, it's a very rapidly developing field, and there are many, many authors and content creators out there. What specifically do you do to stand out in this really crowded world?
We are focusing on a field, what is neurotech, and this is also growing more and more rapidly. And I think this definitely helps too. What we are strong at, it is science and factuality. And we want to make this easily understandable for people also through stories more. Visuals are also helping, that we don't only have articles, but we also have the infographics, and we are starting this video project. People like more such content. You can learn something very rapidly. I think this is also a key to keep up.
With your meetups and events, do you try to target an audience that is in some way connected to science and have some scientific background? Or you mainly want to introduce science and neurotech to people who are not related to it?
I wouldn't put it like this. We are very interdisciplinary. We want to build a bridge, neurotech, and working with the brain, it's a very broad topic. And that's why there is a need for a certain interdisciplinarity. And if I'm, for example, a programmer working on a project, I have to still understand the biological part of it to be able to create the best version of the code, for example. But our strength, I think, lies also in the interdisciplinarity.
If you start brainstorms again, what would you do differently, or what you for sure will do as you did before?
So I don't think I could actually restart this anyhow. I think we can improve, we can do things differently and always evolve, that is very important. But as grew much more than what we thought at the beginning, so I don't think that this is something that you would restart like this. If I was to start another startup with the experience what I have now, I would go into more concrete business planning already from the beginning. With brainstorms, it was a lot of trial and error. I do think that this is always the case. I think I would assess the bigger picture already from early on.
And do you see that you would like to change the direction of the brainstorms? Because right now it is essentially a communication of the science. There are also a huge field of edutainment, education plus entertainment, where you also kind of lean in with what you are doing. And also, of course, pure education, when it's really about producing some courses, producing some educational content. Do you see that the brainstorm might go in this direction as well, or you really would like to stay as a science communication team, building the bridges between different disciplines and scientists and entrepreneurs from different perspectives?
We are working on different workshop materials, what we will also launch. So I think we will keep education in the focus with that. And we also have innovation track pipelines, a different kind of collaborations with different companies, what we are doing. So this is already actually going on, and we want to have more and more, because next to it, not only education is important for us, but to accelerate the innovation process.
And how do you see the future of this field overall developing? What do you think would be happening in 10, 20 years in these directions?
I do think that that far, neurotech itself will be much more easily available, also even more in our daily lives. So I do think it will go more mainstream than what it is right now, because it's still a certain type of a niche. And I do think with the technology developing, we will have much more access. Certain things, what in marketing, like the eye tracking, for example. But I do think that with more and more technologies coming up, it will become even more mainstream.
Do you actually think that for creating a good business plan, some kind of the business education is essential, or this can be learned by doing?
I think the truth always lies in between, in the middle, you know. I think you can learn a lot from education, but also you can learn if you have a mentor, if you talk to people, if you are working in a network, what can help you. And it's also learning through other people's example. So I do think this is very complex, and I think a certain education and further self-development will definitely help.
Did you yourself participated in some kind of the courses or mentorship programs?
Yes, for example, there was an occasion last summer when I was in a summer school. It was an intensive one-week education, business education, where one had to come up with an idea as a startup, go through certain processes, practicing the elevator pitch, creating a prototype, and pitching in the end. I was learning some basics also regarding the business plan and market analysis. It was a fellowship what I got. I was very happy and grateful about it. This was actually an international program, ILA, organized by people jointly from the US, from the UK, and Hungary.
That sounds really interesting. What was the most surprising things which you learned during this week of intense training, where you thought, oh God, I should have knew it 1 year ago?
What I learned the most about it is how to pivot there. This was one of our main focuses, to come up with an idea, and if it doesn't work, how do you change to make it work? It was rather about also to develop your skills.
And if you have, for example, now some new business idea, how would you probe it? How would you check whether it's something which can really fly and turn into a successful company or not?
One has to have concept first for the idea and how. So not just what, but how and why we are doing this. So one needs to lay out sort of business plan. And I would also definitely do market research. If this is really feasible to do if there is really a need for this, if not, how we can change it to find a niche where we can actually sell that certain product. And then after creating a prototype, putting on a market, seeing if it works, if not, improve the prototype, and again, back to the beginning of the loop, because it's always a bit of a loop.
So learning never ends, whether you're in academia or whether you're developing your own company.
Exactly.
Aniko, thank you very much for this amazing conversation. We have learned a lot about neurotech and also how to create your own company. Thank you very much, and we hope to see you soon again.
Thanks a lot. Ciao.
Thank you for being with us.
If you are interested to learn more about career transition, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find links in the podcast description. There you can also find links to resources mentioned in the episode.
If you haven't mind some friends with exciting career transformation stories, please let us know. We're always looking for new guests.
Don't forget to hit a subscribe button and tell your friends about our podcast if you find it helpful.
Stay tuned!